get it.
We, on this Tuesday night, when the year is half over, don't despair, don't concern yourself, because we have the message of Jesus right here. Jesus is with us. Look at the bottom of your screen, and there's a number that you can call to come in contact with Jesus on this Tuesday night. We're here to help you, to save you, so you don't burn in hell. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus is here to help. Everybody say, Jesus, how you love Jesus. Or
there comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Well, here we are, folks. It's the last day of June 2015, and it is exactly 8 minutes, or 3 minutes, and 5 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. We are located in a barn in the central part of the United States of America. You know, we've got to cover something about care and concern. And it's a very difficult topic to address, because sometime in all of our lives, we've been happy or worried to death, and someone will ask what's wrong or what's going on, and we'll tell them about our sad story of woe. And we can tell by the look in their eye and the fact that they're checking their text messages as we're spilling our guts to them that they don't care. As heart-wrenching, as life-changing the event that you're elaborating about is to you, there's someone that's going to show you they have no care and concern. Now, the flip side, that none of us are innocent, we're just all as guilty, is we've all said, I don't care, that doesn't concern me. And we try to smooth it over with the phrase, well, it's really none of my business. Like we're being polite and respectful. But in reality, the reason we say it's really none of my business is because in our mind, that voice that only we can hear, I don't care, means nothing to me, whatever, whatever, I got better things to do than listen to your Jerry Springer sob story. And then on the outside we say, oh, I'll pray for you, but it's really none of my business. So tonight on Jim's show, we're going to talk about questions, not answers. Because frankly, answers are easy. It's the questions in your life, in your relationship with the guys that's really the point. Everybody seeks answers from Christ. And in reality, they should be seeking for the right questions to ask about Christ. Because when it comes to your soul, your spirit, that divine spark, however you want to phrase it, the true you, the child of God, whatever moniker you give it, it does not multitask. There's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh. Why is that so specifically stated in that book? Adam and Eve are evicted from heaven, the Garden of Eden, over an apple? An apple. Because the apple is the answer, which isn't really that important. The question is, what did the apple represent? The Word of God. The wishes of God. The commandment not to touch that tree or the fruit that it bears. Some of you are hurting. Some of you have family members that are hurting. It's the same. And unfortunately, one of the biggest things when it comes to care and concern is the people in our lives. Because we love them, we're related to them, or we work with them, or we've been best friends since we were kids, or they're the best next-door neighbor in the world. So we emphasize sympathy. Misery loves company. We don't want to be ostracized. We don't want to be shunned. We want to be accepted for who we are, but more importantly, we want to be accepted for what we choose to do with our lives. And sometimes we want acceptance for the choices we make. Now, how does that work? If you're trying to choose grace, and the key word wasn't grace, the key word was trying, you're trying to choose grace. And family and friends don't get it. Because it's so easy to call 911, call an attorney, a dentist, a doctor, a bail bondsman, a Bible study. It's easier to fall back into the world than it is to step out of the world and to take a step towards grace. Because Jim, tonight's topic, care and concern, really is about people sitting down quietly in a chair and realizing that what they think is important isn't. And what is important isn't on their mind because their mind is too busy drowning in what isn't important.
Yeah, I like that. Everything about the opening tonight was really good.
Even the very first part of the opening?
Well, That was a little bit frightening, I'm sure, for some folks.
Startled you. You should have seen the look on your face.
Well,
you
were I was startled. I'm just laughing inwardly about what are people thinking about this crazy person that's on Jim's show.
Crazy person.
Yeah. Well, folks, just so you know where he gets this.
From you.
No, he doesn't get this from me. He gets it from watching all the interesting, I've used very careful what I said there, but interesting individuals that are preachers on TV. That's where he gets it.
You mean the malcontents who beg people for money who really should be selling shoes.
Right, right. And so, you know, the whole thing at the beginning is, in a sense, a spoof on the way that modern day preachers are acting like such interesting people, to say the least. Well, you know, this subject tonight, care, it reeks to me of distraction. I mean, to have cares is all about distractions.
It is.
And I was just going to share this. This is kind of, you know, just my world today of some things I was doing, just some of the things I did. But, you know, I told you when I came into the barn, I was repairing things today. And, of course, I got a bunch more work to do tomorrow. So, one of the things I was repairing was some sprinkler heads. And then one thing that I attempted to repair was something I hadn't done before, which was to change out a thermostat. Now, you know, I mean, I'm smart enough to know that the O is the orange and the Y is the yellow and the G is the green and the R is the red. I did call up my heating and air guy to ask him about the white and the blue, and he said, just make sure you don't touch the blue to the red if you got the power on. So, you know, I was careful. But here's my point. You know, the sprinkler stuff, I've done that before and been successful at it. It was a no-brainer. I just had to get the right parts and fix the sprinklers and add some height to some of the sprinkler heads so that they would get over the squash and the zucchini that's growing so high. It's blocking out my water getting to the tomatoes and to the peppers. I mean, just something as simple as that. Well, there's no care about that because I've done it before. And it's not like I was worried or concerned about the thermostat, but it was something that I hadn't tackled before. So that there's an apprehension to it. You're working with it, but you're not sure of it. And sure enough, it didn't necessarily turn out like it should have been. So when I think of the word care tonight, there's a bunch of different ways we can take this. People being consumed with things they shouldn't, not being consumed with the things that they should. But also I look at this and I see if we are in care about anything, in other words, if we have care and concern about anything of this world, to me what that says is there's no track record between you and God in those areas. Because when God gets involved in your life in one area, you might as well just mark it down. He'll be involved in every area if you'll let him. So tonight I really want this subject to go out to those that have possible concerns or from a worldly perspective, really significant cares. Because if you'll look at things with the proper perspective, you'll see that God has all of this totally in control. And through what he did with Jesus, he's given us the right to live carefree without a thought, a care, a worry, or anxiety or stress in life at all. So this is going to be a good night.
It is, folks, and we want you to participate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And we do that through text messaging and emails. The way you email the show is it's the name of Jim's radio show. There's no capital letters. There's no spacing. It's just all one long word connected, the abiding presence, at Gmail, G as in grandma's gravy. That's the abiding presence at gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message, we have high-speed internet texting. The way you text the show, the first word you have to type is the word grace, okay? We won't get the text message unless the first word is grace. After you type the word grace, you type the rest of your comment or question, or you just want to say hello. And then when you press the send button for your text, no one, no area code. It's just five numbers, 69302. So for texting, the first word is grace. And when you press the send button, it's 69302. 302. Both the email and the texting are on the radio show website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. So send as many emails and texts as you'd like. If you don't want your name mentioned on the show in an email, please start the email off with, "Don't mention my name, don't read on the air." If you send a text message, we'll just assume that you won't want it on the air. But we don't know who sends text messages. We don't see your phone number. We don't see your name. We just see the text message. And I want to give you an example of something. Okay? You have a car. It's a nice car. You're making payments on it. And you have a certain amount of admiration and pride. And maybe it's your first new car or first car you bought on your own. But you like this car. And you take care of it. You wash it. You wax it. You keep it clean. And you want to go to the mall. And you know the perfect parking place. You want to be close to the door. You want to make sure that you're parked in between two other cars that are nice, because you assume if you park next to nice cars, those people don't want their doors chipped and they're not going to chip anybody's door.
That's good thinking.
So you drive. And you know the spot and you drive. So it takes you 15 seconds to get from the street to the parking lot. And then you spend about 5 minutes parking, watching people walk to their cars, and you're looking for that spot. And then you walk in to the mall. So you've spent about 6 minutes. Okay. 6 minutes of your day has been spent on a parking space, on a grace perspective. That is 6 minutes of wasted time,
right,
with Christ.
Right.
Because what you have literally told God in no uncertain terms, "I'm really busy now looking for a parking space. I'm very prideful and a little bit of ego about how nice my car is. I want to find the right space. I want to find it close to the door. Maybe I'll send some text messages or talk on my cell phone while I'm doing this." But in reality, from a heaven's perspective, you chose to be concerned, have care and concern about a piece of concrete and four tires in a chunk of metal, when in reality, from a quote-unquote Christian standpoint, all you would have had to do is said, "I am so excited that I have money in my pocket."
Right.
"And a way to get to the store to buy shopping and walk around. I want to thank you, Grace. This is going to be a tremendous experience with Grace. And thank you so much for having me enjoy this and feeling good. And this is just great." You don't think that the guys are going to provide what is best for you?
Right, sure.
Now, some of you will say, "Well, that's just stupid. That's ridiculous." Well, sure it is to you, because...
That's right, perspective.
It's about perspective.
Yep.
It's about looking and seeing what your life is like. What do you think it means in Scripture when it says, "Don't worry about what you wear, where you live, where you sleep, or what you eat. If I take care of the bees in the trees,"
right,
"and the lilies of the field, You don't think I'm going to take care of you, my right. children, somebody made in my image?
Right.
Because in no uncertain terms, you have put your car and a parking space on a priority above Christ.
Right.
And so, where's your care and concern?
Now, interesting is that that example is a very simple example. But now you could multiply that by 1,000 as far as the other kind of examples throughout the course of a day that we actually do the exact same thing. Getting caught up with all the little innuendos of the day that really come to mean almost nothing by the time the day is done. And yet all that time could have been enjoyable with God. Now, for those that are just never heard this before, or for those of you that maybe have heard just a few of our radio shows, it still might not sink in. I've had a lot of people say this to me, even recently. You know, I started listening to your show, and, you know, it was just kind of interesting, really different. But it took me about a month's worth of listening to shows. And I was listening to not just a radio show that we're doing live, but right. they were listening to archives as well. Took me about a month of listening to these, and all of a sudden it started to sink in what you're saying. Because, like you said, someone may think, well, hey, that's stupid. But listen to a psalm like this of Psalm with David talking, the psalmist. He said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor the things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Well, he's talking about perfect rest.
Yeah.
He doesn't concern himself with the cares of the day. Now recognize that the cares of his day, maybe out there in the field with the sheep and all, is a little bit different. But that's the reason why we're bringing this up, because there are so many opportunities throughout the course of most people's days that are involved with the world where there's tons of care and concern that they can get swallowed up in.
I think that one interesting thing about Scripture that isn't thought of, I think, frequently enough, and that I really find just buckets and buckets of information in, is that Jesus didn't have a perfect record. He wasn't 100%. He didn't fix everything. And people say, what? What? Well, he didn't do anything in his hometown because they didn't believe in him.
Right.
They had no faith, no hope, no acknowledgement. So things just went to the way of the world.
And he marveled at their unbelief, it says.
There's a lot of people that were blind, that were lame, that were sick, that were lepers, that were hurting, that were in bondage. And their priorities, their cares, concerns were such that their minds and their hearts were closed to the word of Jesus' Father. He saw a lot of misery, a lot of negativity that was literally out of his scope to do something about, because they wouldn't even entertain the idea that there was something different.
Right.
I mean, Jesus was perfect only to those who were receptive to grace.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward 2,000 years, it's going to be worse, not better. It's going to be more distorted, not more defined.
Right.
We have an email that came in a few minutes ago. It says, I just got home from karate, and I'm making tacos with homemade tortillas.
Tortillas.
Okay, tortillas. Yum, yum. And then it says, I don't know how to pronounce this name, TJASA. It's one of the Weaver kids, anyways, wants to know how old God is. This is from the Weaver kids. How old do you think God is?
Well, there's no beginning and no end, so God doesn't really have age.
He's had work done, just, you know, he's,
yeah, right.
He's had a little work done, you know, just nothing major, you know, just a little with the nose, a, you know, a little Botox around the eyes.
Right.
Nothing major, you know, he wants to stay current. Now, the essence of the guys, you have to understand something, that your soul and your spirit is timeless. That the measurement of clocks and calendars is actually a sinful creation of the world. Because we use calendars and clocks to measure the results of a prayer. How long have you been praying? An hour. How long has your prayer group been working on this?
Right.
A week. So to categorize something spiritual of a nature of grace and to hold it up to be accountable and measurable to time and distance that is created by man on this earth. And remember, there's nothing good of the flesh or the earth. Really isn't a valid question. But the fact that you acknowledge God having an existence and wanting to know how long that existence is a great question. Remember, it's never about the answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the question.
Right.
Because the answer to your question doesn't make any sense. But the question is what's important, because you asked a question. You acknowledge that there's a God. You acknowledge that he exists. You acknowledge that he's been around for a very long time. That's commitment. That's conviction. So the true answer of your question isn't how old God. The answer to your question is you have proven to yourself you believe there is a God. See, it's never about the answer. It's always about the question. Because the answer is, there is no answer, because we don't measure something spiritual by earthly calendars and clocks.
Yeah.
But yet the question, the motivation to ask that question, to believe that that question has an answer, that really drives home, you like this?
Yep.
That really drives home the point that very rarely is the answer the issue. The issue is the question. Okay, we got another email here that I want to read. It came in 4 days ago. It says, "Hey guys, I live in Rockhampton, Queensland, Australia."
Okay.
Now, I'm interpreting this that Rockhampton is the town. Queensland is the state, and the country is Australia.
Okay.
It says, "With my wife, enjoy listening to your show and other messages from Jim. Don't listen live. Use the archives when I can. Having to reprogram my thinking, nearly everything I thought about God and myself has been wrong up to this point. Have been waiting on God for healing and prosperity. I know that the word says that the work has already been done. I am healed. I am rich. Finding it hard to put this into practice. Thank you for the show." And it's signed Jimmy. And then it said, "P.S. When possible, could you send me the name of the song you closed the show off with? No hurry. Know you're both are busy. Thanks." So we've had two emails so far. I like both of them. See, folks, how easy it is to email the show. And please take advantage of that. We've got one text message, Jim. It says, "How do you let go of care of pain?" And then it says, "Thanks."
Well, you know, this is going to be a part of the show tonight. So definitely listen closely to all the different things that we bring up, the scriptures that I use. You know, this is all about perspective. And the whole thing with the physical body has to do with how strong the body is in your heart and mind, or whether or not the body is not necessarily really important to you. Because the more your spirit's in connection with God, the less your body is really important. Or in other words, the less time you spend thinking about what is or what isn't in your body. So the idea that there's pain in your body, sure. I mean, as far as the physical body is concerned, there's a seriousness to the pain. But the more God starts to become real to you, the less value you give that pain. And you immediately begin to give so much more of a heart's conviction of being free from that pain to God, and you begin to dismiss the pain. Now, listen, if this is the first time you've heard this, I know your mind might be saying, there's no way I can dismiss this pain. But again, that goes back to, that's because what has been important in your life has been your physical body. And when God starts to become important to you, you'll find that the physical part of you is not no longer as important. And that's where things that come just begin to go. We're having, you know, this is part of the testimonies that I like the most is not when I'm ministering to somebody and they get well. The testimonies I really like is when somebody's starting to figure it out. Figuring it out is the questions. It leads you to the answers. Where someone can say, I see what I have, I feel what it seems like I have, but I'm not going to give my attention to it. So my attention, my heart, my conviction is about what God says, and that's what begins to allow the grace of God to do something. Remember, folks, care and concern is a wall, is a hindrance, is a boundary and limitation to grace.
I think care and concern is a hurdle in every sense of our lives in ways that we never think about. I think a perfect example is that we've all experienced this multiple times in our lives is we'll have something will occur, and for every action there's a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So something has happened and we're waiting for the proverbial other shoe to drop. For the reaction to the action. Wait till your father gets home. Wait till the boss finds out about this. Wait till somebody reports this to the police. Wait until the family hears about this. And there's this unmeasurable gray area of time where it just festers. And you worry and you have concern and you're not sure of the outcome and you keep Monday morning quarterbacking your decisions and you're going back and forth in your mind and you keep reaching out to different people to see what they think and you're just trying to find out answers to the future, which you can't. And you just keep worrying and then all of a sudden it comes to pass. And usually what happens, the majority of the time is, it's never as bad as what you imagined.
Right. Sure.
Whatever happened, happened, and you look back and you think, man, I wouldn't want to admit this to anybody, but I sure wasted a lot of time.
Right.
And sleepless nights and upset stomach that I couldn't eat over nothing.
Right.
The whole point of having a relationship with God is to focus on now, this minute.
Mm-hmm.
Be appreciative and enjoy this minute. Be excited and grateful for the minutes to come. And to have reverence and respect for the minutes that are gone. Well, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it?
Sure.
It's uncomplicated. There are stories and parables and analogies all over Scripture where
There's a history of doom and gloom. There's the possibility of a future of doom and gloom. But yet, once someone connects with grace, has conversations with Christ, that disappears, and it all
sure
becomes about living in the moment of Christ.
Right, sure.
Just that moment. It's like a doctor giving you a death sentence. You're going to die 6 months to a year from now. Well, who cares? Because that is a calendar and a time and events of this world, and I am a child of God. I am a spiritual being. There's a divine spark in me which does not recognize 6 months to a year. Quote unquote, you will do greater works than me. If you truly believe that the blood of Jesus was the greatest credit card in the world and paid for all of our sins, and the worries of the day aren't worries at all, and we should ignore them, then the limitless, endless, boundless glory of Christ that everybody loves to say, loves to hear, and loves to read, but yet hardly ever puts into practice.
Mm-hmm.
If you love it when someone says, God's love is endless, the power of Jesus has no boundaries, that you'll live forever in the arms of God, then why in the name of your favorite candy bar do you put stock in a clock and a calendar?
Hmm. Right.
To literally govern how you think, what you eat, how you behave, what cares and concerns you have. How does that make sense to you? How does that pencil out on paper? I believe I'm a spirit being. I believe I'm a child of God. I believe that God's power is endless and boundless and limitless. Except I got to go to work tomorrow, and the doctor says there's only 6 months. My attorney says I need to do this. My mom and dad said that I'm late and I got to come up with this. How does that make sense to you? Because you're either going to focus and try to achieve one or the other. Because if you try to bounce all these, juggle them like a juggler throwing balls up in the air, you won't achieve either one.
Right.
You won't succeed in heaven, and you won't succeed on this earth.
Right.
The hardest choice that someone has to make is, who are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on your reality of this world, or are you going to focus on the reality of Christ? It's really that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I looked at the Bible, and folks, if you think about it with me for a moment, if you look at the Bible with more of a broad stroke, so that it's not so just specific in every single chapter and every single verse, but more of the forest from the trees. Does not the Bible, and I realize there's different ways that you could look at this, but is not one of the ways to say that the Bible totally shows us that when God is involved, there is a different reality that is available. There are different choices. There are options that most people that don't find God will never have. When God's involved, there is another way for things to be done. I think of Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel with Judah and Jerusalem, and how that they stood before the Lord when there was a great army that came against them over in 2 Chronicles in 20. And of course, Jehoshaphat stood up and he began to declare to God, the God of our fathers, Abraham and Isaac, you, the God of heaven, who rules over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. In other words, he's presenting his case before God, that you are the God of this people, and you are a God greater than any. And if we end up going down, we're going to go down standing right here in this sanctuary, proclaiming your name so that everybody can hear that we trust in you, which is going to make you look really bad if we end up going under. So we're throwing caution to the wind and believing that as long as you're for us, then there is a different reality for us to experience than what it looks like. So in a sense, folks, think of what they were doing. They were daring to believe that there was a possible alternative way for this situation to turn out. When it looks like, according to being outnumbered, like 100-1, that they're all going to die. And they besought the Lord, and the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel. Sometimes it's hard to pronounce those names. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, you will not even have to fight in this battle. Just present yourselves at the battle. So Jehoshaphat sent out the singers to praise God. And with all these armies coming against him, when they began to praise God, God set up an ambushment, and these different nations that were coming to destroy Israel destroyed themselves. You see, there was a different reality. There was a change, an alternative to what was actually visible with the physical eye. There is an alternative to your situation, whether it be something in your body for the message that was just sent, or whether it be something in your finances, whether it be something, no matter what it is in your life, there's an alternative. When God gets involved, the possibility of things being altered completely where there's a different reality is exactly why the scriptures are there for us, to show us that God can be trusted.
So to answer the text message, how do you let go of care of pain, is to acknowledge everything else but pain. I mean, make no mistake about it. Pain is in our lives every day on some level. Whether it's a paper cut or slamming our finger in a car door, or you're in a hurry and you're brushing your teeth really fast and the brush slips off your teeth and you slam yourself in the gum.
Oh, that's terrible.
or you're watching TV and you're eating a snack and you bite your tongue. Every day there is some type of pain in our lives. It's part of it. But how much credit do you give it?
That's a good way to say it. Yep.
How important is that pain to you? You know, it's kind of like the coach of a sporting team, and you know, somebody comes limping off the field or off the court, and the coach will say, just run it out, just work it out, just keep going, don't stop, don't think about it, just work your way through this pain. Use it as energy. Use it as fuel to the fire. You'll be fine. Don't let it get the best of you. And they're just going nuts and nuts. And, oh, oh, oh. And adrenaline and endorphins are just going crazy. And they do. They just work through it. We've all had some kind of physical body discomfort where we became so involved, so interested, so entertained, so distracted, that there's momentary lapses in that pain. I'll give you an example. You have a splitting headache, and you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to watch TV, or you just really want to be in your bedroom in a dark room, and you just want to lay down and suffer and die. It's just a really bad, bad headache. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and you say, leave me alone, my head is about ready to explode. And they say, but somebody just backed into your car in the driveway. What? Yeah, they're trying to take off, but the bumpers are locked. Hurry up. Well, all of a sudden, you jump to your feet. You go outside. You call the police. You're dealing with it. Hours go by. And someone says, I'm really sorry. I know you had a headache. How's your headache? And you go, what? You even forgot that you had a headache. Because of the bumper, the cars, the police, you were completely distracted. You were overwhelmed with other thoughts and other energies that you literally just threw it away. You didn't take any medication.
Right.
It had nothing to do with grace or Jesus. You literally just had bigger things to do, bigger things on your mind. That's grace, folks. That's a recipe for a healing.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. It's not easy, but it's really that simple.
Right.
It's where are you putting your desires?
Right.
Where is your energy going? How are you looking at things? If you want to be healed, and at the same time, you're making doctor's appointments, if you want to be healed and you're on the internet looking at homeopathic and new ways to fix an old problem, are you serious? If you're trying to be healed and you're surrounding yourself with people that you know in your hearts of hearts have never had a conversation with God. They've never had a prayer answered. You know for a fact that they wouldn't notice grace if grace came up and kicked them in the leg. Why would you want them to be a part of your focus on grace and a healing?
Right.
How does that work? Isn't that the distinction between heaven and hell? The haves and the have-nots, the winners and the losers, those who fail, those who succeed? I don't think there's a gray area, because the gray area between heaven and hell just happens to be the world we now live in. God wants us to turn towards Him and heaven. Satan, negative energy, is on the world's longest vacation until the book of Revelations.
Right.
So obviously, heaven and hell, God and Satan, don't care about this earth. They don't care about our reality. Because with them, it's all about that divine spark. It's about our soul. It has nothing to do with whether we're rich and have casinos and all kinds of property and private jets or rock stars or movie stars. Or if we're sleeping on an army cot in a mission eating pancakes every day and living in a box under a bridge. Because as far as heaven and hell are concerned, they don't care about either one of those. Because those are temporary situations.
Right.
If you're limitless and you're endless and you're boundless, how much care and concern would you have for 75 to 85 years anyways?
Right. Right.
How does that work? Yeah. That's a blink of God's eye. We got it. Wait, we got an email that came in, and I've read it three times because I didn't believe it. We, after all the emails over the months and years from Mom Weaver and the Weaver kids,
right?
Guess who sent an email? Weaver Dad.
Okay.
It says, if you're in pain, stop for a moment and concentrate on something that is very important to you. Then look back to when you were concentrating and ask yourself, could you feel the pain? That's good advice. And then it's signed, Weaver Dad.
That's pretty good.
And his name's Dan. I didn't even think there was a dad.
Oh, well, I knew there was.
We've never heard from him before. I thought that there, I mean, I thought that, Mr. Weaver existed. I thought there was a dad. I just thought that he was like in the basement locked up.
Huh.
And they just fed him fish sticks and Captain Crunch cereal.
Oh, I'm sure the kids are enjoying that.
You know, he's you know, it's like dad is a prisoner in the basement, and you know, they just, you know, they throw down some fish sticks and a box of Captain Crunch and a couple bottles of water and say, "Love you, Dad," and then they, you know, like slam the door. And he's, poor guy's just down there.
No, he's a vital part.
Well, apparently he got hold of a computer.
Yeah.
So apparently Dan Weaver is running amok, running around. He's got access to the internet.
You know, I like the topic of where we're going right now. And Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 to 31, there's a real awesome message here. It says, "Have you not known and have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord," and the word wait means expect, "those who expect in God," in other words, who take a moment to consider God instead of the situation around them, "shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." Notice it doesn't say they'll run after they lay down for a while and they don't feel weary. Or they'll walk when they feel better because they were about to faint. It says when God's involved, when strength is there, when grace is there, the Holy Spirit is there, if you feel weary, get ready to run. If you feel faint, begin to walk. Everything about God being involved in your life is to change your reality. That's where care literally begins to go out the door. You begin to lose your care. You begin to be fearless instead of full of fear. You begin to have a great conviction about you when God is there, and He is there for you. So I'm trusting tonight that people are going to get rid of these cares.
Well, everybody loves to hear that they have a soul, that they're born with the Spirit of Christ in their hearts as a baby.
Right.
That we're born pure of heart and mind because we're born with grace. Well, from there, it's obviously, it's downhill. The choices that we make, the lives we live, our acceptance of things, the way we participate in things, just really cover up that innocence of a grace child. The term of I've been saved, I've been reborn, I'm now a child of God. These are statements that organized religion love to hammer home to the congregation. They are cornerstones of organized religion's way of keeping people interested in coming back and tithing. It's a great marketing scam. You've been saved. You've been reborn. Well, if you're truly saved, if you're truly reborn, then that means your life has to be fundamentally and drastically different. If you hold on to those phrases, I'm reborn, I'm saved now, and your life is so similar or exactly the same as it was before you were saved, before you were reborn,
The only answer is you're not saved. You're not reborn. How can, because remember, there's heaven, there's hell, and then there's the area that really nobody has any use for in heaven or in hell, which is known as earth, reality. The times that we live in today. So, if that's where your cares and concerns are, in that middle ground called earth, the reality of the times that we live in, how important are they?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, it's not about the answers, it's about the question.
Right.
The question is, how important are they? Is this a reality that is limitless, endless, and boundless?
You know,
is this working for me?
Right, right. There's a common phrase now that you hear a lot, that this is the new normal. And people are establishing...
I haven't heard that.
You haven't?
But no. What's the new normal?
Well, in other words, just things that change. How time changes things. Well, this is the way we do it now. It's the new normal.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
And things are changing so fast and so rapidly that one of the new normals today is people making choices where there's very little, if to none, no conviction at all involved in a choice. And part of the reason is because modern science, technology has made it so that there's many options to making a choice. Yeah. Where you think about it, years ago, where salvations, the word being saved and being born again, there was so much more meaning to it because it meant everything about change. It was a change in a person's life. A person was reborn. In fact, I was reading something the other day from a guy named John G. Lake back in, you know, the 30s. Okay, back at a time where people still made great choices as far as the conviction involved. And he said basically the same thing that you were saying just a moment ago. He said, if an individual that says that they're saved has no evidence of their salvation and testimony, he said then, in one sense, in fact, he said this in one particular passage, he said, if a minister cannot prove the power of Christ, then he is no real Christian at all. So look at what meant something to Lake, and that is, the production of testimonies with God. So this goes right back to the whole idea of care and concern. And the reason it does is because it begins to show us the day we're living in has been diluted enough as far as Christianity that people are very much in controlled, being controlled by worldly circumstances, cares and concerns, by things that they see. And this is a challenge on this radio show tonight for people to begin to lay that aside and begin to find God. And you can, because he's right there all the time. Are we getting anybody listening at all or messages?
I don't think anybody's listening. It's just me, kinda, you, and Ranger.
I felt like I was hearing a little bit of crickets right there when I was finishing up. Like,
well,
maybe I was preaching to nobody.
You're kind of boring sometimes.
Yeah, well, maybe
maybe someone will come to your defense on that one.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not boring.
Maybe we need the Weaver. Oh,
what? Weaver Dad?
Yeah,
that survives
thinking,
on.
I was thinking of Heather and
Captain Crunch cereal and frozen fish sticks.
Well, I was thinking of Heather and Tatiana and then the little girl that came. I don't know her name that came to the Wednesday night.
TJASA, I bet it is.
Okay,
I don't know how to say it.
So anyhow, they came and it was real fun. And after the service was over, the little girl said, as she was walking out, she said, "Bye, BJ." And Heather, I'm
they thought you were BJ.
Yeah, and Heather goes, "That's not BJ." Something like, "He's way too nice to be BJ."
That's funny.
It was very funny.
I like that. That
BJ spits on you, just so to let you know.
I didn't spit on you. I was trying to clean my computer. So I spit on my computer to clean up the screen, and I spit too hard, and some of it got on you. I got great spit. I'm very healthy.
Yeah. No.
If someone's going to spit on you, you should be thankful that it was me.
It was you. Oh, gosh. Folks, have you ever heard anything so conceited in your life? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, even his spit is just...
That's right.
It's like holy water. Just splash it on you.
No, it's not like holy water.
Do you know Jesus spit on somebody and got him healed? Isn't that crazy?
Really?
Yeah. He spit on someone's eyes.
I like that.
Then he spat on his finger and rubbed it on somebody's tongue and their mouth opened up. In other words, they were dumb and they began to speak.
Huh.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
He spat on the ground and then took the spit and made clay, like a little bit of... Put it on a guy's eyes who were blind from birth and the eyes opened up.
Well, see, then...
Spit's real, man. It's part of it.
We just got a text that said, this is good. They like the fact I spit on you, I guess.
Oh, I guess that's it.
We got an email that came in. Folks, you got to participate in the show, folks. You got to send us emails and texts. It says, great show as always. Last time we spent time with Jim on a golf course, we had a discussion that was appropriate for tonight's topic. The thought was that we notice what we value, and that goes for noticing pain, noticing God in our lives, and noticing distractions. This is from Breakfast Ed. Well, I don't know, Ed, Breakfast Ed, because tonight Jim tried to hit a couple of golf balls, and the first swing he was too far away. The next swing, he was several inches above it. I mean, it takes him two or three swings before he ever connects with a golf ball. I mean, I would think a guy that golfs as much as him would have better accuracy. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I'm not even defending myself, Ed.
I'd be discouraged if I kept, you know, swatting air instead of hitting that dumb little ball.
It was practice swings, Ed.
Why do you have to practice something if you don't know how to? If you're practicing, that means you don't know how to do it.
Well, there's partial truth to that. I mean, I'm not that great at it.
Well, if you don't know how to do it, you shouldn't have golf clubs and a bag and a ball. You shouldn't buy those things until you know how to do it.
Well, I know how to do it. It's just you don't always execute.
No. You don't.
Perfectly every time.
Two balls.
You've seen me.
Two balls and six swings. Mathematically, that's failure, buddy.
You don't count the practice swings.
No, of course not, because if you do, it shows how bad you are at it.
Okay, well, if that's how they added it up, then we'd all be really terrible.
I don't know. In my world, you're only as good as the last horse you touch. I think if you apply that to golf, you're only as good as the last swing. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that. I actually do like that.
But, oh, we got an email. Let me see who it's from here. Yeah. Oh, no, we got another one. It says, the baby's name is pronounced Tiashu. Tiashu. We are German.
Okay. Yeah? Yeah.
They're German.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
No, it's Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Remember Fred has a church in Germany.
We haven't seen Fred in forever. I saw a Facebook picture of Fred. He looks good.
Yeah. Fred, I want to say hello to you. Hope you're doing good, Fred, in Germany. Send us an email. Let us know how you're doing.
Yes. We'd love to know how you're doing.
You know, I find it interesting that we've had emails from the Weaver kids and Weaver mom, and nobody has disputed the prisoner in the basement, Captain Crunch, fish stick scenario.
Hmm.
Yeah. Poor Weaver dad. You know, we had a campaign for the Weaver kids that are homeschooled to have a summer vacation like other kids. Maybe we should have some kind of a campaign for Weaver dad to eat something besides Captain Crunch cereal and fish sticks.
Hmm.
Maybe he'd like an omelet with some bacon. And maybe...
Or Wiener Schnitzel.
Or maybe pork chops or steak or something. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, take the man to a all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet or something.
Have you ever had that? Have you ever had German food?
A lot of it. My grandmother used to cuss me out in German.
Hmm.
Yeah, my grandmother was built like a refrigerator freezer. She was 100% German. And she spoke it fluently, and she used to cuss me out all the time in German.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Did she ever make one of those Wiener Schnitzels?
Sometimes.
Did you like them?
Yeah, they I don't like spicy food, but...
Reminds me a little bit of, like, a chicken fried steak.
I like potato pancakes.
Yeah, I do too.
And bratwurst.
I don't do bratwurst.
And it's really funny because real high-quality sauerkraut isn't really sour. It has kind of a sweet aftertaste.
Hmm.
Yeah, you get a hold of some really good sauerkraut, it's not really sour. Oh, I like this text message. Hitting 2 for 6 makes you a millionaire in baseball.
That's pretty good.
I like that. It says, great teaching on healing. I need this. Thanks. Got another text message there. Okay, folks.
You know who that is. That's probably Shelley's brother, Trey.
Well, we don't know. It's a text message.
Well, I know, but it probably is.
Who? Trey?
Trey, yeah.
Her brother's name is Trey, like ashtray? Or like tray of snacks?
Yeah, you know how they, a third, like if you were William James III, that's the same as Trey.
Oh.
Another name for that.
Oh, I see. So yeah. Trey isn't his name, it's an alias.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his real name?
I know, never asked him.
Steve? Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
You've just insulted anybody named Steve that listens to the show.
No, I didn't. I'm just laughing.
See, folks, this is...
Because you bring these kind of things up.
This is the kind of ridiculous things that I have to deal with.
Hey, listen, I helped you a lot this week. I got up on that darn roof and about burned my britches off trying to cut your tarps.
Well, you know, life is tough. Poor little guy. Yeah. And then what'd you do the rest of the week? Nothing?
Well, I didn't do anything out here, but I did stuff at home trying to figure out all kinds of stuff.
I don't have any cares and concerns about it. I don't care.
Okay, so with all your what? How long have you been in the fishing business? Because you had a hunting and fishing show, didn't you?
I had a radio show about hunting and fishing.
So, because there's a scripture where Peter talks about casting your care, the whole of your care, all
right.
Your anxieties, all your concerns,
right.
Once and for all upon the Lord. For the Lord cares affectionately and watchfully about you. Okay, well, I mean, concerning fishing.
Okay.
You know, this is how I see, how I've watched, and of course, I'm sure I've done this myself. You can cast a line,
right?
But then reel it right back in, you still got it. It's when you're casting upon the Lord, it's not, in one sense, it's like fishing where you're going to make a cast, but you got to let go of it. And that's the whole principle about tonight with having no concerns. It's to let go of the things of the world and the flesh. Otherwise, if you don't let go, you're in the way.
A lot of people don't like fishing because they don't catch any fish. Or it's too long of a time period in between catching fish.
Okay.
You can kind of relate to fishing to a relationship with Christ. The real glory in having a relationship with God is not the prayers that are answered or the witnessing of grace. The real glory of a relationship with Christ is that there's a Christ to have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone.
You're not alone. And that there's more to you than the reality that you're living in.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
huge. That there are alternatives, there are choices, choices. There are things in your future that can be indescribably beautiful and amazing. And they're free, and they're custom ordered and custom made for you. And the only requirement is that you acknowledge that they're yours, you acknowledge who provides them, and be simply grateful for them. You don't have to gain weight, lose weight. You don't have to take a test or an exam.
Right.
You don't have to study. The only obligation you're under is to have a 100% commitment to the perspective of that. And yet, 99.9% of people don't get that.
Yeah.
Organized religion does not want someone to stand up and say, my prayers are being answered, I've enjoyed coming here, but I'm moving faster than you are, and I wish you all the best.
Right.
They don't want someone to go faster than they are. They don't want people to think of themselves as individuals. Because the true power of organized religion is not a relationship with God. It's about a relationship with the pulpit and the congregation.
Right, right.
And so okay. We got a text that says, can you expound on getting out of the way? You first.
Well, think of it this way. If you're locked in and you're focused on the things of your flesh, the concerns that are around you, that are of the world. In other words, we've been talking about some of this tonight. Things that you could say God really has, he's not into it. I mean, why? Because it's not a spiritual reality. It's just a reality of a twisted and distorted world. And if these are the kind of things that your focus is on, well, think of it this way. You are in the way of God being able to do something for you because your focus is on the things of the flesh and the world. So to get out of the way is to let go of your concern and your care of those things. To put yourself on purpose in a position where the only help that you really need, the only help that you consider worthy of your heart, the investment of your heart, is God. That's what? Getting out of the way. That's my thought on it. What's yours?
Can you expound, excuse me, can you expound on getting out of the way? Okay. If you watch a weather report tonight after the radio show, and it talks about storms tomorrow in your area, maybe you've left your car outside, so tonight before you're going to go to bed, you're going to put it in the garage. Since it's going to rain tomorrow, you may change the shoes that you were going to wear. You might dig out a raincoat or an umbrella. You might think that some of the plans that you have after school or after work might be changed because of the coming weather front, so you make a plan B. Because you have forewarning of things coming that may be different than what you had today. Bad weather. Okay. That's getting out of the way of the weather that's coming. You're driving down a road and you see a big triangular sign that says road closed. Detour ahead. Turn to the left. Two lanes go into one lane, merge, and you follow the arrows, and you've been redirected. Well, that's a type of getting out of the way. that you have information that is in front of you that helps you to avoid something that is negative or unhealthy or unsafe or something that you would rather, if you had a choice, not to participate in. That's really the essence of grace, of God's love, is to provide you with the fact there is grace, that you can rely on the judgment of the guys, that they will show you how to avoid the pains of the body, the torment and stress of this living in the times that we do. So getting out of the way means that instead of focusing and acknowledging the trials and tribulations and pain and suffering of the day, but instead to consciously choose God's love.
Yep.
To consciously choose not to acknowledge the power of it or the importance of it or the all-encompassing drowning in the drama of it. That's
right.
What getting out of the way means
right.
to me.
Right.
We got two more emails. Okay. Oh, wait. I got one here that I didn't read yet. It says, hi from Roman in Pasco, Washington. Nice little hello to you. Okay, we got one here. Oh, are you still having a Bible study tomorrow night? Hardesty Library.
Yes, we'll be there. 7 o'clock.
Okay, and Facebook?
And thanks, Roman, for saying hi. I'm glad that you're listening to the show.
This is from Heather Weaver. Is that Weaver Mom?
It is.
You know, we've only had one message from Weaver Dad. I think he's back in the basement. They found out he was upstairs. Guy was probably just wanting to have a decent meal. Okay, not seeing the show listed on Live 65. Is this a user error? This is from Chris. No, the reason the show isn't listed on Live 365 is I was so busy dealing, talking on the radio and playing with Ranger during the first part of the show that I didn't push the button for the show to be listed. But don't worry, the show will be listed on Live 360. I'm telling him right now. I'm talking about it. I've admitted my mistake. Apparently Ranger is saying, yeah, you screwed up. I know I screwed up. What else should I tell him? I will. I can't talk if you're barking. All right, thank you. Man, the girl always on my back about something. Well, that wasn't nice. Okay, after the show, when I record it and it streams 24/7, it will be listed on Live 365. This is just a temporary situation while the show is broadcasting live, but I didn't push the right button. All right, are you happy now? All right. Well, there you go.
Hey, over here in Mark 4:19, just so you can see why the topic that we're talking about tonight really has some relevance to our lives, it talks about here a seed being planted in different soils. And many of you know this passage. And Jesus reveals here that there's a lot of lack of productivity, unproductive soil. And notice what he says about this unproductive soil. It's full of the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. So notice the three things that he says. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desire for other things has the ability to do what? To shield you or to hinder you from experiencing fruit. Answers to prayers, experiences with God, being able to testify to God's grace. So having care and having concern, you know, to the question about how do you get out of, you know, the way? Well, care and concern, the very fact that we would have that, means that we're in the way of God's grace. Because to turn it over to Him means you don't have your hands on it. You're not in control of it. even if the situation doesn't look good. Listen, the whole Bible is full of story after story after story where things didn't look good. If you remember Abraham, God says you're going to father a child. And he was of the age, and so was Sarah, where they were past childbearing. So in other words, as far as their physical body goes, as far as intimacy was to take place, nothing's going to work. And it says that Abraham did not consider his own body not being weak in faith. So in other words, the reason why he wasn't weak is because he didn't equate the answer to what God said to be about his own ability and his own body. That's how you get out of the way. You look at what is the opposite of God, what seems to be saying that this, there's no way what God says is going to work. You look at it and you disdain it. You devalue it. It has no importance in your life. And you look to God with all of that value that most of the world gives to the things of the world, and that is where your conviction lies. And that's where the anointing, God's presence, the grace of God begins to work.
Okay, folks. We're at that part of the show now where we've been talking for about an hour and 20 minutes. So start sending us some text messages. The way you text the show is the first word. In your text message needs to be grace, and then your comment or question. And then when you press the send button, it's just five numbers, 69302. That's 69302. Or an email, and it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no spaces, no capital letters, The Abiding Presence, at gmail.com. And you can find out these information on how to contact the show on the abidingpresence.com website on the contacts page. Let us know how you're feeling about tonight. Let us know the thoughts that you're having, the questions, the success. Give us all the feedback that you can.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, tomorrow night, I want to encourage you at 7 o'clock to tune in to jimhockaday.com, and you'll find a part of the website that shows you that there's a live stream going on at the library. And it's going to be a good night tomorrow night. And we always have a good time. The series is called What is Reality? You can go to the website and also find all of our What is Realities over the last 2.5 years. We've got quite a number of them. And so how are you enjoying the show tonight? I really want to know, because to me, this is a huge topic in a day where there's so many events going on all around the world, and there's so many concerns out there that are taking place. Real easy to get caught up in what's taking place and begin to lose your focus. You know, the scriptures that say things like, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Other scriptures that say that if God be for you, who can be against you? Why are those in there but to help to do what? To counterbalance what people are living in constantly, which is fear of the unknown and fear of their circumstance. To let you know that you really can trust God, and he's bigger than anything that you've encountered.
Okay, so you talked about the Hardesty Library.
Yes, we did.
How you can watch it on Facebook,
mm-hmm,
or off of your Jim Huckaday ministry website.
Correct.
Okay. Do me a favor. Open that door. Let her out, would you?
Okay.
Acts like she wants out of the room. You want her out? Go on, Ranger. Out. Out. Just leave the door open. She acts like she wants to go somewhere else. She's... Now she comes back in.
Yeah.
Oh, we got an email. It says, Grace. Hi. Oh, they started their email with Grace.
Oh, like a text, you mean?
Yeah. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. I have a question, please. Sorry, BJ, if this is a bad question. I gained weight due to some medical treatments for over 2 years, and now I need to lose all that weight. which has caused some other problems. By excluding all processed prepared foods, I am able to lose the weight slowly but surely. I wanted to ask, is it wrong of me to spend time cooking, shopping, preparing food that excludes any processed foods, or would it be correct for me to just give it to God and wait for grace to take care of it? In my life, I believed that I could only count on myself to choose things and was taught to try hard to get to whatever I was trying to get to. But now I have realized that I couldn't have done any of it without the assistance of God. Now that I know this, do I try or do I hand over to God? By the way, love, love, love the show, especially the examples that you provide. I find those most helpful for me. And it says, thanks, Marina. Okay, Jim, you first.
Well, I think that, again, God works with us. The Holy Spirit is a helper. So he's not a doer, he's a helper. And God always works in conjunction with how we respond to him. So I think as you begin to apply yourself in these areas, you can expect that God's grace is there to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to cause cravings to disappear, to cause you to be able to get rid of this weight faster than you normally would. But I think it's not about sitting around waiting for grace just to do something. It's about you applying yourself, and as you do, expect that God will work with you. That's my thought.
I think that the guys like sound thinking. They like good choices. They like people that have the ability to see issues and problems in themselves and have a genuine desire to make a change, to go in a different direction. And you're doing that. You've decided that you have an issue with your weight. You've decided that processed foods are not for you. That if you do some shopping and you do your own cooking and you prepare some food that's healthier, that it's beneficial and that it's positive. I think that's a perfect example of grace. One of the problems that people have is they sit back on their couch and they want God to conform to the reality of this world. That they want grace to be like a custom-made pair of shoes where your foot's been measured, your heel, your calf, your ankle, the arch of your foot, so that the left shoe fits the left and the right shoe fits the right, and they're custom-made and they're perfect fit for each foot. We really expect God to ingratiate that with us. But what we don't realize is the good choices we make, the positive efforts that we do are an enhancement for grace to assist us and for us to go farther. So I think someone who has a relationship with the guys and believes in God and knows that there is grace is going to lose faster than someone who doesn't have a relationship with the guys and is just cooking and shopping and preparing their own food.
Right. Sure, I believe it too.
I think that think of yourself as a sailboat. You know that the direction is heaven. You've set your sails and your compass for that direction, and grace will provide your sails more than enough wind to get you there.
Yep.
I hope that made some sense to you. We got a text message that came in. It said, should we be concerned about our deteriorating food supply? Genetically modified organisms, GMS, GMOs, etc. I think personally that you should always be concerned about the choices you make. That you always want to do what is best for you. And whatever that is only up to you. Because part of the one of the greatest things that helps you have a more fruitful and successful relationship with Christ is to change your habits and your philosophies and your perspectives, which means that if you protect yourself and you choose what is best for you on a very fundamental level, such as what you eat or how you dress or how you look, which are remember, only 75 to 85 years of your existence of a divine spirit, your soul, which is a blink of an eye, that it starts a chain reaction of good choices, of good habits. It's a foundation to start making more profound choices and better decisions that are quote unquote Christ-like, that enhance your soul and your spirit, and not the advancement of your comfort level in your body and of this world. Jim, should we be concerned about our deteriorating food supply, GMOs?
Well, you know, that's kind of, I mean, I enjoyed your thoughts on it because that's kind of your area of expertise, some of those areas, you know, with preparing for this and preparing for that. I think that we ought to be wise in this last day. I mean, even the scriptures tell us, awake and be sober-minded in the day of the Lord. And I mean, we're looking at a time where people ought to be open their eyes a little bit more. And I think Christians in general, this is my own opinion, this isn't a negative opinion either, but I think Christians in general tend to be a little bit more naive than most people. And so I would say on this show, yeah, I think you ought to be a little bit more aware of what's going on in the world, what the possibilities are. I mean, I read some things today, you know, about the billions of dollars each and every day that are continuing to be printed by the Fed. I mean, our debt is literally soaring every single day. The numbers that are out there that seem to indicate jobs this way and what's taking place in the economy, they're all manipulated. You got to understand, they are manipulated. Things are not what they seem. And I think it's really important for people to open up their eyes and prepare. And the scripture even says, as you see the things in these days approaching, purify yourselves even as he is pure. I think that there's an alertness and a necessity for people to wake up.
Okay, let's see if we got any more emails. Good emails and texts have come in the last part of the show, which is good. We're all caught up on emails and texts. What haven't you said that you want to say tonight on the show's topic of care and concern? Have you made your points?
Yeah, I have, and I'll just say this. You know, if you're going to cast your care, in other words, get rid of your care, how in the world are you going to do it unless there's someone else that can actually do something with it? I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, if there's, you can't get rid of your concern and your anxiety if there's no one that you can actually go to that can solve the problem. Otherwise, you still got the problem. So I want to encourage you tonight that everything this Bible shares with us and everything about your relationship with God that's supposed to be real, that's the reason why we share the things that we do. That's the reason why every single week I progress in my relationship with God. And if for some reason I'm not, boy, I'm in my own kitchen talking to myself and saying, it's time to get back in the ball game here. Why would you ever step out of it? Because I'm constantly aware of progressing with God, for God to become more real in my life, for it to be easier to trust Him, to expect in Him, for His power to be real in my life. Answered prayers and fun hanging out with Jesus. All those thoughts right there contribute to what? I can actually trust Him. I can give Him my care, my concern, my anxiety, even if it's life-threatening, and know that the Lord has already given us an answer and a victory. So I just want to share with you, as we present this idea of how concerns and cares swallow up your time, your energy, your thoughts, the value you give life, think about how important it is for you to let God really be God in your life tonight. So that's pretty much, along with what we've said, I can narrow it down what I want to make sure people hear.
Okay. It made perfect sense. Thank you. This is from Marina, who was talking about cooking her own food.
Yeah, good.
Wonder what kind of food she's cooking.
I don't know.
You know, I had something I've never had before the other night. I bought it at the deli section of the grocery store where they have prepared foods.
Yep.
It was big slices of mushroom.
Oh, portobello mushroom?
Well, no, just mushrooms, cherry tomatoes, yellow squash, zucchini.
Mm, sounds good.
And some onion, and it was cooked, and it was like fried in olive oil.
Oh, I bet that was good.
Some vegetable thing.
Do you like it?
It's kind of funny. The lady, she goes, it's all vegetables. She says, have you had your vegetables today? And I said, today? And she says, you haven't had vegetables yet today? Because it was like 6 o'clock at night. And I said, well, I had a cheeseburger with lettuce and tomato back in February. She goes, oh, my gosh. And she says, you know, she says, that's right. All you ever buy here is meat.
Hmm.
She says, you don't buy potatoes or gravy or... She says, you just buy meat. And she said, here. So she sold me a pound.
Did you eat it?
I did.
Hmm.
It wasn't bad, but I figured since I have that now, and this is almost the 1st of July, I probably don't need any more vegetables now till the 1st of the year.
You should see my zucchini was about this big right here, which is probably about maybe 8 inches by 3 or 4 inches wide. I had a yellow one and a green zucchini, and then I had a squash that was about the same size. I picked that out of the garden tonight, so we're going to grill those up.
I like grill them.
Yeah, there's a real nice way to scoop out the inside and put some breadcrumbs and some cheese in there and then some butter on it and put it in some tinfoil and grill it.
Yeah, but you're not really putting any meat in there?
No, that's just a zucchini. I mean,
no meat?
Well, I'm sure we'll have meat.
It's not a meal unless there's meat. But then you think soup is a meal.
Well, soup can be great when you have a lot of meat in it.
Now, soup is for people who are too lazy to cook a decent meal.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, soup is not a meal.
Well, it depends on how you've had it before.
I don't know. Somebody served me soup. I just assume they don't like me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they didn't care enough to make a pot roast.
Oh, gosh.
Or fry up some pork chops.
Okay.
Or to broil a steak or, you know.
Well, I'm getting
make
hungry.
Make a meatloaf.
Thinking about what I might eat tonight, I don't have any idea, but I'm sure it'll be good.
That, I don't know about care and concern. I mean, I hope we gave people something to think about and consider. Oh, we got another message that says, cod and shrimp soup with buckwheat on the side. That's from Marina.
Huh. That's what she's cooking.
That's going to kill her.
Oh, my gosh. Cod and shrimp soup? No, it would be good.
Cod and shrimp soup with buckwheat on the side?
Yeah, I don't know what buckwheat is.
Buckwheat.
I know, but in what form?
Well, not the little African-American actor from the R-Gang.
That was a great little movie.
Cod and shrimp soup with buckwheat on the side. I just lost my appetite.
Huh.
I feel sorry. I think Marina needs a good... When she said she was shopping and cooking her own food, I thought she meant like making a meatloaf or taking a thick Iowa cut pork chop and slicing it and filling it full of cornbread stuffing. Or maybe having a slab of ham with some candied yams and sweet corn. I didn't know she was like suffering with cod and shrimp soup with buckwheat.
Well, I'm sure she enjoys it. I'm sure it's good.
I feel bad for her now. I didn't realize that things were so tough there, that cod and shrimp soup with buckwheat. Wow.
Well, Marina, you don't have to worry about BJ coming over and getting any.
Yeah, I'm not stealing. Yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to steal your food, Marina. It's all yours.
I'm ready to pray for some folks.
Pray for Marina.
Yeah.
She needs a decent pot roast. I'm not even on the right computer. I am not. I haven't been prepared tonight. Hold on. Let me find it. Okay, here we go.
Well, it's not like we can't pray without music. It's just a part of the show, so we've gotten used to it. And I like it. But for everyone that's listening tonight, especially if you're dealing with something that is staring you in the face and it's speaking rather loud, I trust that you take to heart the things that we shared tonight, how that you really can get your focus off of those things of the world. Jesus said that through Paul. He said, don't look at the things that are staring you in the face. They're just temporary. So if it was just temporary, and there really is a good report, how would you look at it? Would you just brush it off like you're brushing off a couple crumbs off your lap and just say, it's not even worth my time? Well, I'm praying for you tonight that God's wonderful grace overwhelm you and the wonderful power of His grace cause you to see how really healed and blessed and healthy and strong that you really are. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
We got an email that just came in.
Okay.
It says, the other day, after I had boiled some eggs, I immediately took the pan off the stove and set it in the sink. Then, without thinking, I stuck my hand in the boiling water to hold back the eggs while I drained the pan. I jerked my hand back and gasped. I was asked if I was okay and replied, watch this. I blew on my hand like a magician and smiled. The pain went away, and I didn't think about it again until my husband came home from work. There was no evidence that anything ever happened. Grace, not just for me, but for the horrified onlookers. This is from Heather Weaver.
That's pretty nice.
It is, because at least Dad Weaver gets to leave the house and go to work.
He might have got some eggs, too.
I don't know.
I bet you I find out tomorrow night.
Who knows? I mean, you know, but still, fish sticks, boiled eggs, and Captain Crunch cereal, that's not a healthy diet. I mean, that's down there with, like, cod, shrimp, buckwheat.
Well, I like the testimony. Great job.
I mean, you know, you know. Just remember, bacon makes anything taste good. Bacon is our friend. Jesus loves bacon. Well, I don't have proof of that, but
I don't have proof of that either.
It just sounds good. I like the sound of that.
The Jewish people didn't eat bacon.
More for me.
There you go.
Yeah. I like people that don't eat bacon. That means I have more packages to choose from in the store. I get more bacon for me.
Well, you won't have to worry about me stealing your bacon because it's always limp. Bacon. I like it crispy.
Now, I like bacon that's greasy and limp and, yeah.
Yeah, I won't be stealing that. I like it crispy.
You like it burnt.
No, not burnt. Just crispy.
I mean, it just, you sound like you're eating a potato chip when you eat crispy bacon. Yeah. I like bacon so it's limp, like you can tie it in a knot.
Yeah, no.
So you can, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can take a piece of bacon. And then you take a little chunk of breakfast sausage. And then you take a little piece of French toast or pancake or waffle. And you roll that up in the bacon like a tiny little burrito. And then you pour just a small amount of maple syrup and dust it in powdered white sugar. Nice little snack.
I guess, right?
Yeah. They're really great if somebody makes you a whole pan of them, because then you can just pop them in your mouth like M&Ms. Otherwise, you know, it takes a little while to...
Sounds pretty creative.
It is. All right. Are we ready to say goodnight?
I think so.
All right. Hold on. Once again, I'm on the... Guess what?
Wrong page.
Wrong computer. There it is. Okay, folks, want to say welcome to all the new listeners out there. It'll take me about 10 or 15 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and streaming. Then it'll be running 24/7 until next Tuesday night's live show. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Jim will be at the Hardesty Library. You can check that out on the Jim Ministry Facebook page or his Jim Hockaday Ministry website. 7 o'clock Central Time. Take care of yourselves and your pets. And now it's time for my only family and friend, the true boss of the ranch, Ranger. What, that's it? All right, one more bark. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks.